Don't forget, Saturday night, this coming Saturday night, is our church business meeting. And everyone, especially any Sunday school teacher, assistant, everybody needs to be here. Anybody who wants to be, if you'd like to be a Sunday school teacher, you need to let me know this morning if you can. Because we will be needing a few positions and a field, and I hope that you'll have a desire to do that. I've always believed this. I believe that one day God's going to have a special blessing and reward for Sunday school teachers that are faithful and do their job well. And it's a great opportunity. If you want to do something for God, become a Sunday school teacher. He'll bless you for it. Now let's open our Bibles to the book of Titus this morning. The book of Titus in the New Testament. That's that little book there for Hebrews. And Titus chapter number 2. Here in the book of Titus chapter 2 is some of the most well-loved scripture in the New Testament, talking about the grace of God. And that's what I'd like to preach to you about this morning. The wonderful, wonderful grace of God. Titus chapter number 2. And of course, I'm sure you figured it out, most of you, verse 11. Titus chapter 2 and verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The grace of God is the subject of these few verses of Scripture here this morning. And I don't know, maybe you're here this morning, haven't been going to church very long, and don't understand a lot about the grace of God. All the years I've been saved, I still don't know everything there is to know about the grace of God. All I know is that God's grace is God doing something for us that we do not deserve. And never have or never will. That's what grace is. I believe it was C.I. Schofield who gave probably the greatest, best definition of the word grace when he said grace is the unmerited, undeserved, unrecompensed favor of God. If you do something and somebody gives you something for it, that's wages. If you do something and somebody gives you a prize, that's a reward. But if you can't do nothing, be nothing, say nothing, and give nothing, and you get it anyway, that's grace. And that's what God's grace is here this morning. And you know what? His grace knows no limits. Love knows no bounds. I'm glad this morning that God's grace knows no bounds. Ain't you? I'm glad God didn't say, all right now, you sin 10 times and I'll forgive you. But buddy, on that 11th time, you're out of here. You hear me? I'm glad God's grace is not like that. I'm glad God just keeps on giving and keeps on loving, keeps on forgiving, keeps on picking us up, ain't you? You know, when I first got saved, I thought, now I've got to live right. And I thought that if God was going to be pleased with me, I would have to live up to a certain standard. And I'll never forget. I'll never forget driving myself crazy trying to live a perfect life. And the harder I tried, it seemed like the worse I messed up. And I thought, God, maybe I'm not really saved. And then one day it dawned on me. One day it just hit me like that. He said, hey man, if you could live a perfect life, then I would not have had to die on that cross. When Jesus died on that cross, he was showing what kind of life we'd wind up living. No good. But by his grace, we're saved through faith. And I never forget the first time, I guess the first time I saw Niagara Falls. I've seen Niagara Falls a few times. And I preach up there around Lockport, New York, and that's real close to Buffalo. And first time, they said, you want to see Niagara Falls? I said, yeah, I reckon I want to see it. They took me over there, and it was in the winter, and there was ice and snow everywhere. And before we got there, 10 miles before you get to Niagara Falls, you can see this great big mist, like a fog coming up. I said, what is that? Looks like smoke. And it's just mist, that, all that water pressure hitting down there in that river. And I said, wow. And we got there, and it was froze all the way around it. That water was coming off of there. I ain't kidding you. And I got to looking at that, and I thought, wonder how many thousands of years that water has just been flowing, 24 hours a day. And I mean, there's a lot of it, too. If you got off there, man, it busts your brains out. If you hit that down them rocks down below that thing. It's unreal how much water, they told us how many thousands of gallons per second goes over Niagara Falls. Unbelievable. And I got to thinking about that, being like the grace of God. You think it just couldn't keep coming, could it, preacher? Yeah, it just keeps on coming. You say, well, preacher, our church has been here all these years. God's still got grace today. It's still coming over the bank, man. Still coming over the bank. I could feel when they were singing a while ago, when the choir kept singing, I just can't praise Him enough. Just can't thank Him enough. It was like some of it just kept, started rolling in. That old song says, I keep coming back to the well of grace. Great is its power, sweet is its taste. Whenever temptations and trials I face, I keep coming back to the well. Let me say a few things about wonderful grace this morning. And the first thing I'm going to say is the grace that saves. It's grace that saves. If it ever dawns on you this morning that God saves you by grace, it'll make a happy individual out of you. And it'll help you if you're not saved. You know what's wrong with some of you people in here this morning? You used to go to church and try to live right, and it didn't work. And you had this happen or that happen or something bad happen, and it knocked you down and knocked you out. And you finally thought, well, what's the use? There just ain't no use trying. I've got good news for you this morning. It's by grace are you saved through faith. And that of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We have nothing to brag about. We have nothing to complain about. Amen? I tell you, it bothers me when I go to so many churches hearing God's people sit around griping and complaining. My, so look at you people here this morning. I'm looking around. I don't see nobody in here that looks like you're starving to death. Really, I don't. Most of you are the opposite from starving. Most of you could do without a meal or two and it wouldn't hurt you a bit. I'll tell you that. I mean, you're not starving. You're sitting here this morning, got food in your belly. You got a car sitting outside. You're sitting in a building here. It's air conditioned, light, PA system, sound equipment, got a Bible in your lap, the whole Bible. You say, what's so big deal about that? Did you know most people in the world have that? You know most people in the world, by the world standards, you're rich today. Everybody in here is rich by the world standard. You know, you think about that. Think about all the people in the world who don't have these things. You're sitting here, some of you ladies, it took you 15 minutes to figure out what dress you was going to wear this morning. If you lived in other countries, it wouldn't take you that long to figure it out. I mean, you wore the same one you did last Sunday. If you had one at all, you went through there and said, no, that don't look right. No, that don't look right. No, I just... And then you got 50 hanging in there and saying, I just don't have anything to wear. That's what you done this bit. Some of you, that's why you was late. And you know what? Like that one fellow, he said, I know my wife is an angel because she's always up in the air harping about something and never has an earthly thing to wear. But anyway, we complain, we gripe, we grumble. Poor little me, ain't I pitiful? Nah, I'll tell you what we are, brother. We're saved by the grace of God. Our name is in the book of life and ain't nothing the devil can do about it. We're going to walk on gold streets one of these days. There's a big burning blistering fire down there and we're not going to go. We ain't got nothing to complain about. Nothing. No reason to gripe. No reason to gripe. If I commit suicide, it'll be because five people didn't come to Sunday school. That ain't a big reason. You kept us from having what I prayed for this morning. Five people. I'll tell you what, that's a very bad thing to happen. Worst things could happen. You could be in Africa worshiping a tree or a rock, dying with AIDS, and die and go to hell on top of that. You ought to thank God for what He's done for you. I heard it come back complaining. I heard about this fellow went and joined this monastery. And these monks live in these monasteries, you know. That's a monastery is a home for unwed fathers. And these guys stay in there, and they're supposed to live secretive, quiet life for years and years and years and years. And they're in there, and these monks, they don't do nothing. They don't do nothing. They think if they torture themselves that they'll be holy. So they sit in there for months and months and years at a time. Like that, you know. And they do all kinds of stuff like that. Some of them can't even talk. They won't allow it. One monk went into one of those things, and the rule was you couldn't say but two words every 10 years. The first 10 years went by. The guy came in. He said, all right, well, it's 10 years up. What's your two words? He said, bed cold. He said, okay, we'll take care of that. 10 more years went by. He brought him back in there. 10 years went by. He said, what else you got to say? He said, food bad. He said, okay, we'll have to take care of that. 10 more years went by. He said, I'm going to bring you in here. What you got to say now? Two words. Guy said, I quit. And the guy said, he said, you ought to. You've been here 30 years and all you've done is complain. That's the way it is, brother. I mean, God, we don't have nothing to gripe about it. That's awful. But you know what? We ain't got nothing to gripe about, man. We ain't got nothing to gripe about. God's been good to us. God's been good to us. You know, there's people in jail wanting out. You know, there's people in the hospital who can't get up and run around like you can today. Thank God, grace that saves. I'm glad that night as a teenager when I went to Alder at Nebo Baptist Church, my hair was way down here. I had my Grand Funk Railroad tapes out in my little MG outside. Then we'd take the top off that thing right all over Nebo and crank the speakers up. And I put speakers out on the back of them ball, and I had a whole pair of blue jeans on that night. I'm glad when I went to the Alder, the Lord didn't say, all right now, Danny, you do this and you do that and you do this and you live right. And I said, he just looked down and said, there's a sinner that needs grace. It's grace that saves. It's grace that saves. It's grace that saves. And brother, I want to tell you something. If I had to die this morning, it would be nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. It's by his grace that we're saved this morning. We can shout on grace. We can't shout about the life we live. It ain't no good. We can't shout about our testimony. We blew it. We can't shout about our standards. They're not high enough. But we can shout about the grace of God that saves us. Not only that, it's grace that schools. It's grace that schools. The Bible said, teaching us. According to the Bible this morning, grace can teach you. You know that? Grace can teach you. It teaches us. Think about that. Oh my soul. It teaches us. It teaches us lots of things. It teaches us what we should know. That's grace that's brought me safe thus far. And grace will lead me home. The Bible said it teaches us denying ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world. Now the truth is, nobody is righteous and godly by yourself. So when you get saved, God's grace comes inside you, and then He teaches you how to live right. You cannot live right without the grace of God. You cannot do right without the grace of God. You cannot talk right without the grace of God. It is grace that schools. Now, I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Every Christian is a student in God's school of grace, and there are no graduates walking around down here. We're all students. I met some people who thought that they have graduated. Yeah. I've got it all figured out. I know all the answers. I don't sin anymore. You know what you are? You're deceived. You're deceived. If you ever get to the place where you think you don't ever do nothing wrong, the devil's just slipped you on, man. He's tricked you right off. It's grace that schools. And we're all students in God's school of grace. You know, one of the amazing things that God will teach you is that the Bible is right and the only rule of faith and practice. One of the things that amazes me, especially about this part of the country, is that people believe and try to live by old wives' fables and things that aren't even taught in the Bible. That's real bad around this part of the country. I mean, I love the Bible Belt, and I wouldn't want to live nowhere else. But I'll tell you what, boy, we've got a lot of old wives' fables around here. I was reading, I run across some of these things, and a lot of them think they're scripture. But did you know a lot of people are just nothing more than superstitious? I read that they said, if you hear a rooster crow, see, some of you old timers heard any of these. If you hear a rooster crow before you get out of bed on Sunday, you'll have company for dinner. If you kill a frog, your cow will go dry. That ain't right. I ain't got no cow. If you let your baby get its head wet with May rain, or rain in May, it won't have a cold all winter. I read it said, if you drop a fork, somebody's coming. Anybody ever heard that? There's one, there's two, there's three, there's four. My soul. What are you doing hearing that? As young as you are. Cut your hair in the full moon and you'll grow faster. Anybody ever heard that? Lord have mercy. I never heard that in my life. I read it. Rain or snow is indicated by cows or horses lying in the field during the daytime or smoke going down the creek. If you have fire and smoke goes down the creek, it means it's going to rain or snow. Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand. Snow laying on the bank for a long time means what? You got it. You got it. We knew your Bible that good. That means it's going to snow again. A ring around the moon means what? Bad weather. That's right. The number of stars within the ring tells how many days the bad weather will last. A thick potato pit means a hard winter's coming. The thickness of hair on animal skin means bad winter's coming. That's probably true. When it thunders in January, February, the last frost will be in May. Sweep under somebody's feet and they will never get married. That's what's happened to some of you people. A lot of people believe if you heard a dove cooing in the graveyard, it meant somebody's going to die. My mom always said if a bird come in the house, it meant somebody's going to die. You ever heard that? Mom said that all my life. Listen to this. Listen to this. Cut your nails on Monday for wealth, Tuesday for health, Wednesday for news, Thursday for shoes, Friday for unknown sorrow, Saturday to see your sweetheart, and Sunday means the devil will be with you all week if you cut your fingernails. Did you know they say the white spots on your fingernails shows how many lies you've told? I got to look at that. I got one big one right there. I got one big one right there. Have you ever heard that? Raise your hand. You ever heard that old saying? Well, the grace of God will teach you different, bro. Some of that stuff, they may not. I don't know. I'll tell you one thing. The grace of God will teach you. You know what the grace of God will teach you? The grace of God will teach you just to do right in a situation. The grace of God will teach you to do right when nobody's looking. The grace of God will teach you. No way you can hear it talking to you. You can hear it talking to you. And you might do wrong. You may mess up. But there's a little boy saying, now do this, do that, do this, do that. The grace of God is our school teacher. And it teaches us how to live right in this godly, ungodly world. Amen? Not only that, the grace of God separates. Thirdly this morning. The grace of God separates. It'll take you apart from this world. Amen? Well, listen. The Bible teaches us the grace of God will teach you to do right. You know, people can come to the altar and just go right back and do the same thing. People can get baptized and go right back and be the same way. But if the grace of God does a work in your heart, you're going to be different. You won't be perfect, but you'll be different. People say, well, I got baptized. That don't do nothing but make you wet. I heard about a fella who got baptized, a preacher was baptizing 20 people, and this guy got baptized, and he come back in the room where they was all changing clothes. He was soaking wet, and the preacher's clothes was hanging there, and he saw his wallet and got the preacher's wallet out and stole $200 out of the preacher's wallet right after he got baptized. See, the water didn't do much for that fella. But change your heart. I know a lot of people say, are you a Christian? Yes, I was baptized when I was small. That don't see, it takes the work of grace in your heart. You know, a lot of our young people, when they really got on fire for God, a lot of their friends at school thought, what has happened to you? Why are you so, why is it just church all the time? What in the world has happened to you? I'll tell you what it is. When God's grace does a work in a person's heart, they're different. They want to think different. They talk different. They act different. They speak different. They look at things different. Everything takes on a different view. The grace of God separates us. Amen. Heard about this preacher went to this woman's house, and he visited her, and he knocked on the door, and he could hear somebody running around in the house, and nobody never would come to the door, He knocked again, and nobody never would come to the door. He kind of got aggravated, and he left one of his cards, and on the back of it, he wrote with a pen, Revelation 3:10, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in." You know, left it on the door. Sunday morning come along, and the lady who had visited, she came up to him. She ran right up to the preacher and gave her card. And her card, he turned it over, and she wrote a verse on the back of it, Genesis 3:10. And the preacher went there, "What is that?" And he ran over and looked up Genesis 3:10, and it said, "I heard thy voice, but I was in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself." Now listen. You know what that preacher did? That preacher said, "Oh!" Now you know what the grace of God will do? The grace of God will teach you better, man. It will teach you better. Amen? The grace of God separates. The grace of God separates you from this world. And you don't even have to try. I've heard people say, "Well, preacher, I got saved. How am I going to get rid of my friend?" You don't even have to try. When God's grace does a work in your heart, when God's grace changes you, it automatically sets you apart from this world. You know what it'll do? It'll sanctify you. It's like a little microphone here. We got a bunch of microphones here in our church. There's one. They're all over the place here. But you know, I got this one little microphone here. This little thing here. I don't know what brand it is. I think it's a Sony. Sure microphone. And this little microphone is set apart for the preacher. It's set apart. That means, that's what sanctified means. The word sanctified means set apart. All these microphones are in here, but just this one is set apart for the preacher. Because the preacher won't be still to talk on one of these. So you got to get one that hangs around on your neck like this. But did you know what this little microphone is? It is separated for the preacher's use. Now that's exactly what God's grace does for you. There's thousands of people out here, but God's grace will separate you so that you can be used for God. That's why young people want to go sing on ride the bus and go somewhere and sing at the church on Friday night. That's why they want to come up here and have a prayer meeting on Saturday or something like that, because the grace of God has separated them from this world. Thank God this morning for grace that separates. Praise the Lord. Let it happen. Let Him work on you, kids. Let Him work on you. Not only that, it's grace that satisfies. It's grace that satisfies. It's grace that satisfies. Provides life with hope. Coming face to face with the Savior one day. You know something? I'm glad we're not living in Old Testament times where you'd have to bring an animal sacrifice and keep bringing it every week and every week and every week and every week so that your sins would be covered until the blood of Jesus was shed. I'm glad we're not in those days. I'm glad the blood of Jesus has been shed. And He done those sacrifices once and for all and forever. And now we just keep coming back to the well of grace. I bet you there's a lot of people in here this morning. You need a good fresh dose of grace this morning. It's grace that satisfies you. If there's one thing American people can't get through our head, it's going to be that God and His grace is what's going to be what satisfies you. We think, well, if I had a new car, if I had a new house, if I had this. There's some of you people sitting here this morning, you've been in one relationship right after another. You've been in maybe one marriage right after another. You've been in one house right after another. You've been in this, you've been in that. And you think, why am I never happy? Why won't nothing satisfy me? I'll tell you why. Because God has placed an empty spot on the inside of everybody, and only God will satisfy you. He said, "I'm the bread of life. I'm the bread that come down out of heaven." I promise you this morning, you'll never really be content I don't care, man, if you win the sweepstakes and the lottery and you become a millionaire. You say, I'd be happy then, preacher. Oh, it'd be fun for a while. But those people that's got all that money are not happy. I mean, they're on drugs. They're committing suicide. Right. They're doing all this stuff. There's something missing. There's something missing. Fame and fortune don't do it. That's why rock and roll sing. Why did Kurt Cobain at 27 years old had all the money, all the women, all the drugs a man could want? Why did he take a shotgun and blow his brains out? Because he did not realize that it's grace that satisfies. It's grace that satisfies. It's grace that satisfies. Let me tell you something. You'll never be happy until you get your heart right with God. A boyfriend won't, a girlfriend won't, a party won't, a car won't, a job won't. If you look like so-and-so, you still wouldn't be satisfied. If you look like Liz Taylor did 40 years ago, you still wouldn't be happy. You know why? Because in a few years, you're going to look like she does now. You see, there's got to be something. You say, well, I'll just keep myself young and beautiful and all that. No, you can't forever. There's got to be something inside. There's got to be something between you and God. God's got to satisfy you. He's got to satisfy you. You keep coming back. Let me ask you a question this morning. Are you satisfied with your life? I mean, I know that all of us, everything don't go like we wish. There's a lot of things I'd change about my life if I could. But let me ask you something. When you lay down at night and you close your eyes, is there something down in here that says, everything's all right? If I come before tomorrow morning, everything's all right. You know what will give you that? Grace. It ain't because you deserve it. It's God's grace. When I go to, I fly a lot, you know. I travel all the time, more than I like to. Man, I've been week after week after week, and going to Delaware this week, and Alabama week after that, and Kentucky the week after that, just for a few days at a time. And I'm telling you, people say it gets old fast, believe me. All every exit's got the same thing on it, on the interstate. And I get on them airplanes, and I walk up there to that lady, and she wants one thing. She wants my ticket. That's all she cares about. She don't care if I'm a preacher. She don't care if I go to church every Sunday. She couldn't care less. She wants my ticket. She wants my ticket. And when I pull it out and give it to her, that ticket gets me on that plane. Say something this morning. That's what God's grace is. That's your ticket. For by grace are you saved. The reason you're not going to hell this morning is because God's grace. Carissa, when she is little, where's she at? Oh, she's way over yonder this morning. When she was real little. Okay, I see. She had some candy or something one time, had some money she was going to save, and she's going to hide it from her wicked sisters so they wouldn't steal. And she said, I'm going to hide this. And they said, well, I'll find her. She said, I'm going to hide it. And you know, I don't remember exactly what it was, but I remember she said this. She said, I'll hide them where I can't find them. You know, I thought that sounds a certain way, but that don't sound smart in another way. If you hide them where you can't find them. She said, I'll hide them where I can't find them. Boy, I got thinking about that, and I thought, hallelujah, that's just what God's grace did to our sins. You know what the Lord did with our sins? He hid them where He can't find them. Woo! What'd You do with them, Lord? I don't know what I done with them things. They're gone. I can't find them. What sins are You talking about? I don't remember them anymore. You know, this old world won't forget. This world don't forget my sins. Some of you don't forget sins. I mean, you see me sin. You see me mess up. I'm sorry if I've hurt anybody in here and all of that. You don't forget it. But thank God, it ain't going to be you that lets me into glory one day. The Lord can't remember them. He hid them where He couldn't find them. What a blessing. That's grace. Wonderful. Wonderful grace. Now, I'm speaking to some Christians here this morning that need a fresh trip to the well of grace. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've been altered so many times. I've asked forgiveness so many times. God, I believe God's just tired of listening to me. That is not true. That is not true. Keep coming back. There's more grace. He giveth more grace. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Amen. Let's stand by our heads for prayer. I'll bring you this little message this morning on the wonderful grace of God. Our heads are bound, eyes are closed. No one looking, no one talking, moving, please. I need a fresh touch of grace. Now maybe you're here this morning and you're confused. You deep down inside you don't even know really for sure if you're even saved. Well, I got good news for you, friend. You can find out right here, right now, this morning. You know what you're willing to do? Humble yourself. Just humble yourself. If you need to come, we're going to sing. If God's speaking to your heart, you need to step out of your seat and come down here and get you a fresh bucket of grace to take home with you. You feel free to do that. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you can come. You can come. Come and get in on God's grace. Some are coming already. Others need to come. Our Heavenly Father, please, God, do what ought to be done. Please, Lord, bless this invitation. Help that man, that woman, that boy, or that girl, whoever it is who needs to come this morning. We'll praise you and thank you for it, and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.